And we're back on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Nick McNamara. So I teased it a little bit before, so I figured, you know, it's time to get into it. I spoke with a couple candidates, the couple candidates for the Riley County District 1 seat on their commission. First up, I spoke with John Ford, the Republican candidate for the seat. Some of his past experience includes serving currently on the Manhattan Social Services Advisory Board. So, with no further ado, here we go, John Ford. Let's just get started pretty general here and tell me a little bit about some of the experience you've had that you think will be applicable to your candidacy.
Sure. First and foremost is I've grew up here. 32 years, graduate of Manhattan High, MATC, did student government while I was there, so get to work out some of the things. We helped do the first set of accreditations to get them to where they're at today, a top 25 technical training school in the country. I'm very, very proud of that. So I've worked in the community here over the last 6 to 8 years. I served on the City of Manhattan Social Service Advisory Board till June, which I vice-chaired for 4 of those 6 years. So I've got a inner workings of the, you know, the social service network and how all those things kind of fit and play in together. And then I also served as an appointment from that board on the Riley County FEMA board for a rapid rehousing funding segment that comes in phases. Supposed to be yearly, but didn't always work out that way. But I've had some work with the inner part of the community to really understand the voice and the conscience of what's going on.
And what specifically led you specifically, to run for this office?
Sure. Concern. To be honest with you, it's not so much about where we've been or where we're at currently or current leadership or old leadership, you know, as far as commission and staffing is concerned, but it's really the future. And I think that we have a lot of challenges and we're going to have a lot of obstacles on the horizon and growing pains that we're going to have to face. And I think, you know, how we navigate through that is going to tell the tale of just – what kind of a region we're going to be in the future and whether or not we're going to have those opportunities and the economics to build a better quality of life for all Riley Countyans.
And speaking of growing pains, we're seeing a little bit of a, let's call it a plateauing regarding sales tax revenue and population. And, you know, as a result, we're seeing mill levy increases. We're a little over 2 mills this last budgetary cycle. I guess, what are your thoughts on, you know, some ways maybe or some maybe your approach to being able to balance, you know, the public's, there's kind of competing desires there, a desire for, you know, public services offered by the county and also keeping property taxes lower.
Sure. It's a balance. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, it's going to take some practical thought. And I think prioritization is the biggest one of those. We really need as a county to understand what it is as our directives and narratives and needs are and place those first and work through those individually down that line. And then we can get to some of the other things down the road. And I think in that process, we're able to keep taxation and the mill levy and stuff a little bit more balanced as we go through this, you know, period of time and this little bit of transition of the bubble that we seem to find ourselves in. I think that's the first one. I think we can use technology. I think there's some things there that may be able to help balance out a few things along the way. And maybe just the power of attrition. We know that there's an older demographic and within the county and employees of the county. And as they move forward with future plans, or maybe they transition into a new job or retirement, maybe we ought to look at whether or not those particular positions need to be replaced in accordance of how they were. And that saves us some time and saves us some money and obviously saves us some employee costs and benefits along the way there too, to help balance that out as we move along.
And what are your thoughts on the idea of, well, for example, Manhattan has a city manager. Pottawatomie County has a administrator. Some counties have controllers. There's a lot of different words for the title. What are your thoughts of a county administrator at Riley County? I understand it's been discussed here and there in the past.
I'm not necessarily for it. I think we've got great people at the top and administrative roles throughout the entire departments of the county government. Maybe that changes down the road. I don't know. But at least currently speaking, I think with the 3 commissioners and the setup that we have, and I think we've got good people that really, really, truly understand the dynamics of the county. And I think we can move forward just with what we have without having to change anything or, you know, add anything to that equation that may change the balance that we already have.
There's always a talk about, with revenue especially, in bringing in new people as a transient community, that's always important, whether it be it students or military people. And for students, a big issue is always is public transportation. And I know that the county has partnered with some public transportation agencies, like the Attabuses. What are your thoughts on the state of public transportation in Riley County? And do you see any room for improvement, or is that something that's not necessarily high up on the list of concerns at the moment?
That one would probably, at least to me anyway, seems like it would be more city. The discussion, I think, centers around the county of whether or not how many people in the county are actually using it as total. I know that the city of Manhattan, the university, and some other entities are, you know, heavily involved in funding and placing some of those things in the hands of ATA. I like what they've done. I think transitioning to a route system that picks up people at the right times in the right places obviously helps. So it's not an issue of misuse of funding or allocations or that sort of thing. But, you know, for me, for the county to really get involved in that, I need to know that the full county is actually using that. And then, you know, obviously the discussion would have to be had at that particular point in time.
Another point of concern that people from maybe more northern Riley County have concerns with are ambulance response times. Mm-hmm. I understand that the county is working to mitigate that a little bit with some with the new ambulance station at the county's shop location, but that doesn't necessarily solve all the problems across the board. It'll improve response time to like Riley, but there's still other places like Randolph and Leonardville that necessarily don't that might not have the response time that they desire. What are your some of your thoughts on how to maybe mitigate those times?
The irony here in short is if we had known that we would take over the ambulance service directly, we probably could have alleviated that problem from the get-go and added it on as part of the new fire station in Leonardville, but we're about a year, 15 months or something, a little too late on that one. So, you know, that doesn't work so well. I think what people have to understand, too, is it's not just something that we can build onto an existing building. There's different statutes. It has to be kind of a separate working thing within that environment. So that creates a little bit of stress and toughness to that particular situation. But, you know, I've heard a couple of different things. You know, I don't know if contracting with maybe Clay County for just the northern part would fall into expense and would work well or not. That's something that's come up along the way. There's been talk of potentially just placing one individual that, you know, is EMT, EMS, all that certified, having him have the vehicle and the proper equipment and things within that structure to be able to stay out in that county. Then that person can be the first responder, you know, to any given scenario that would play out. And then, you know, he could reach back and communicate with other services if those were necessary at that particular point in time. I don't know if that's a long-term solution, but as we kind of work through the growing pains of that, I certainly think that maybe that's an option if put together and packaged properly. I would also, you know, the interesting thing is with the ambulance services, other than administration and operations, the infrastructure really hasn't changed in well over 40 years. And I don't know, you know, the common sense part of me suggests that maybe that was placed where it's placed currently because it was in between two working hospitals at that point in time, and it was just easy transition. But as we know, in that amount of time, the community has grown, obviously substantially, and may or may not continue to do that. So, you know, we obviously have to kind of rework that and see what's going to be the best option, the most sensible approach to take care of those things, you know, and both in the city and obviously in the county. So, I think we have to continue to work and dialogue and evaluate that and come up with a real sensible solution, maybe the two that I already mentioned. So,
and you said you've had some work with the social services and social organizations around the community. Mm-hmm. And I guess that sort of with Riley County being a big partner with entities like Pawnee, mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the state of mental health treatment and mental health infrastructure here in the county? Is there room for improvement? Is that something that would be high up on your list of concerns?
I think that's something that we certainly have to discuss. I think, you know, obviously, to me, it really comes more from the state and maybe what the state isn't providing program-based and grants and allocations to service some of those things. It's going to be hard as a county and maybe even as a city to be able to manage the differences on that. So we really need to be working with the state to make sure that we get as much as we possibly can to. We've got one of the best health departments in the state. It usually ranks in the top five, if not even higher. So, you know, we took that back over in 2011. I think we've done very well with that. So obviously there are some things that we can do there. I think one of the major major things I think we need to do is we do need to evaluate what mental health concerns and what specific critical things that we actually have here, so that, you know, we can start dialoguing with the state, with other entities, and of course private and public health officials on trying to find the best way to solve those issues as they come up.
And I've asked you a lot about quite a few different topics.
That's
here,
okay.
But what are the topics that are most central to you when it comes to this upcoming election? What are your platform points, or what are your aspects of your campaign that are like central going forward?
Sure. Transparency and accountability obviously would be one of them. I think we need to do a better job from the county level trying to display and put forth what it is that we're trying to do and voice those things with the community and our constituents as a whole, so that they understand that ahead of time and there's no cause or concerns on that, and they can trust that we're trying to make the very, very possible, best possible decisions moving forward that, you know, benefits all of us and the quality of life for all of us. So that would certainly be one of them. I would like to bring a more fiscal approach to things too in this given time. Obviously, with the growth of services and needs and space, that's going to complicate things. But if you keep both of those in mind and you look for sensible and practical solutions to those issues, I feel like we can balance those out pretty easily. And that's something I'm going to be very astute on moving forward. And obviously, we need to check our trends and make sure that we're growing, but we're not growing out so far that it ends up hurting us in the end when our revenues do come down and other things. And we've kind of pushed ourselves out past that. I think we need to stay with our growth and grow with our growth. And if we do that, I think it gives us the best possibility for opportunities and other things to help us grow, help economic development and growth just in general.
All right. And any final thoughts? I think we're pretty much through the majority of things
okay.
we're going to talk about. But any final thoughts you want to add?
Well, I just want to say that obviously Election Day is upcoming here on November 6th. Advance voting has started. The important part is to get out and vote and make that voice be known. And for me, it would just be just an absolute honor and pleasure to serve the county that I've basically grown up in and still continue to reside in. It would be a humble honor to serve all O'Reilly Countyans.
So. All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And that was my interview with District 1 candidate from the Riley County Commission, John Ford. John Core, just a reminder, he currently serves on Manhattan Social Services Advisory Board. And if you want to get out and vote early, you can head on down to the Riley County Office Building, 110 Courthouse Plaza, downtown area, Manhattan. Coming up, I will have a very similar interview with Aaron Estabrook, independent write-in candidate for District 1 Riley County seat. So stay tuned for more here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
ESV Financial, member FDIC, equal housing lender.